is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, What to Do When the Whole World is Against You. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is the Statler Brothers with Old Rugged Cross, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was. I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for.
I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for.
America is like an oasis in the world.
where the water is. Well, you come get a drink here, and millions of people pour in from all over the world. They want to come and sample our goods and our greatness and our riches. But maybe too many are coming. Maybe we're turning into a third world country. And when we do reach that third world status, will you still be here? Maybe things will not be so good in the world where somebody like Hillary Clinton is president, where they lie to you constantly, where they send your sons and your grandsons and your granddaughters off to die in some foreign war, and you're left all alone. And they tax you incredible amounts, and pretty soon, you know, you're funding all the goodies for the people who don't want to work. And you say, everything is against me now. Everything has turned. America was once a great country, but now it's nothing. Now, you may say, well, that can't happen. Oh, I remember I was reading about Indonesia. Indonesia now has about 200 million people. They had a dictator named Sukarno, and it seemed that Sukarno had done pretty good for the people. They were very rich. And then one day, a revolution occurred. Nobody expected it. And pretty soon, I mean, within days, people's heads were cut off, and young boys were using their heads as soccer balls out on the fields. How did that happen? Or consider Soviet Russia, a Christian country, so-called, one of the richest countries in the world. They imported their agriculture everywhere. But within months, suddenly Vladimir Lenin took over and Joseph Stalin, and the people were tortured and bludgeoned and killed. And their dictator, Lenin, kept crying out, more blood, more blood. I don't have enough blood. So they went out and killed more and more. They say that the cellars of the buildings where they took the people to in the cities literally were filled with blood. You'd have to step in all the blood and it'd go up to your ankles. There were so many bodies, they couldn't take them out. They just left them there in those buildings. Soon, of course, they started the salt labor camps, and millions of people were in labor camps where they worked till they died. It happened overnight. It happened very quickly. And all of the nobility of Russia left or were dead, were killed. Now, friends, this world is a wicked, wicked world. It can change your situation overnight. I mean, within minutes, a terrible crisis caused by the government secretly can occur, and you'll be trapped in it somehow, trapped in it. So you'll want to know about this biblical prescription book. You'll want to know about it. Now, I was reading the Bible, and you know, there's so much wisdom, there's so much power in the Bible. You know that old song, there's power in the blood? There is, in the blood of Jesus. He did come to destroy the works of the devil, and he destroyed those works. And he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Now, there's one verse I want you to know. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, this reads this way, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? If you have Jesus Christ inside, if you have asked him to forgive you of your sins and you belong to him, if you are Christ's. Now, this is an important thing. If you belong to him, you see, once you accept Jesus as Lord and he comes in your heart, he lives in you, then a great force is in you. Think about that. Can you imagine God living in a man? He will. He will come to live in you. And greater is he, that is God, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? The devil.
In fact, the devil is king of this world temporarily. The devil is lord of this world temporarily, but not to you. If you accept Jesus, the world does not control you. It cannot rest on your shoulders. You're not going to be like Atlas. You shrug one time and the whole world falls. Oh, no. You see, because the world may be on your shoulders, but there's someone else holding it up and keeping it up. When you shrug, it just goes on. It continues right on. Because God is there. I want you to think about that just a moment. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear when you have God? Think about that. You don't have anything to fear. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing that's going to harm you or could harm you. And if it did harm you, well, it's for your own good. You're going to be with Jesus anyway. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil operates in the world. He's everywhere, operating, doing terrible things. Did you watch the presidential debate? You saw examples of lying, lying, lying. That doesn't have to affect you. You can continue on. Now, some people say, well, I just don't know how to quit sinning. I want to quit sinning, but I just can't. So God's not going to accept me because I just keep sinning. I thought about that recently. Now, I've mentioned before, a sweet lady came to see us. She was a very poor lady. And she rode on the bus all the way from the state of Massachusetts down here to Texas just to talk to Tex Mars. She got off the city bus. She had rode the Greyhound or whatever, all the way from Massachusetts. She came into my office and she said, I'm desperate. I need to talk to you. She told me where she'd come from and all that. I said, well, my goodness, sister, what's wrong? She said, well, I cannot stop sinning. I don't think God has forgiven me, ever forgiven me. I said, really? I know God won't forgive me. I know, because of the sins I've done. Really? Have you killed somebody? Well, no. And I named three or four terrible sins, just terrible sins. She hadn't done any of those. But she said, I just keep sinning. I said, really? And then I told her something, and she looked at me very strangely. I said, well, you're a perfect example. You're giving God something to work with. He needs raw material. It looks like you're the perfect one for him to work with. Well, God doesn't want people that are perfect. God doesn't want people that don't have any sin in their life. He wants people like you, ma'am. She said, he does. I said, well, of course. Wherever sin is, God will abound. It's not that God loves sin, no, but he loves to strike it out. He loves to erase it, to get rid of it. Well, you're giving him something to work with, aren't you? She laughed a little bit then. I said, what makes you think that you've sinned so much God's not going to forgive you? Well, it's just a feeling I've got, a feeling you've got. A feeling you've got. You know, 1 John comes to mind. 1 John. Let me read it to you because it's so mighty. You may feel this way too. You may say, well, Tex, I'm a big sinner and, you know, I don't think God's going to forgive me. Really? I may be a bigger sinner than you, but God's forgiven me. Now, let's go to 1 John. I want to read it to you here. First of all, John chapter 1, this is 1 John, verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, there's some darkness in you in there. And you don't know what you're going to do about it. But in God, there's no darkness at all. There's only light. You're seeking the light, aren't you? You want the light. You want the light to flood into your life. You've got some darkness. Well, God is all light. There's no darkness that can even penetrate God. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, this woman wanted to have fellowship with him. She talked with God. She walked with him somewhat, but she says, I'm in darkness. She wasn't lying. She was telling the truth. Are you a big sinner? Well, good news. God can take care of that. He's able. And not only that, he's at the door knocking. All you have to do is just open it up, and he's going to come in. And he's gonna have dinner with you. You're in luck today. Well, there's really no luck. It's just, you know, fate is God is fate, and he's there. Is the world on your shoulder? Is it getting heavy? Do you want to get rid of it? Do you want to live in victory? You can. I think the first thing you need to do if you're going to live in victory with God is get rid of the sin in your life. Now, sin's always going to be right there knocking on the door. Let me in. I've got something good for you. That's what he's going to say. But you know different, don't you? Now, if you have Jesus in your heart, sin is going to have a hard time getting in. A hard time. And let me tell you why. You see, sin and God just don't go together. They don't go together. Because God doesn't abide, that means he doesn't put up with sin. And if you do sin and have the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. This is the one reason why when I have sin, I just feel terrible about it. I do. I feel terrible about it. And I want to get it out of my life as soon as possible. I want forgiveness from God for it, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. God is inside of me, and he is grieved. The Bible says that you will grieve the Holy Spirit. Think about that. You know, some of you have probably gotten an argument with your loved one, your child or your wife, your husband. You said some things you really didn't mean, and you hurt them. You hurt them. And then you think to yourself, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why was I that cruel a person? You didn't want to hurt them, did you? Now you feel guilty about it. You should feel guilty. And you should ask them for forgiveness. That's the same as God. God is inside of you. When you do something wicked or evil or cruel or wrong, or strike out in anger at someone, you've just hurt God. God is in you. Why do you want to hurt God? Think about it. If you're a Christian, you're going to feel bad. I studied psychopaths for some years now, and the psychopath has no conscience. They don't feel bad about anything. They have a great advantage as a sinner over you and me. You see, the psychopath is like a different species. He's not even a human being. He's a murderer, a liar, a thief, and he doesn't feel guilty about what he does. He doesn't even have a sexual inclination. He can be go for men one day and women the next. That's a psychopath. He doesn't feel guilty, but you and I do. And let me tell you something. The stronger a Christian you are, the more your guilt. Now think about that. The more your guilt, the stronger a Christian you are. Maybe that was the problem with that woman from Massachusetts. Maybe she was a really good Christian. And she said, you know, I don't know if God's forgiven me. Well, I'm going to tell you what I told her in just a minute, but I want to continue with chapter 1 of 1 John. It says, But if we walk in, this is now 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Let me go back to verse 6. That's very important. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now think about that. If you walk in the light as he is the light, you'll have fellowship with other Christians, with your loved ones. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You ever met a person like that? They never ask for forgiveness. They're not contrite. Why? They're perfect. They don't need any forgiveness. They're always right. And they're liars. And they're deceivers. And they have deceived themselves. This is the greatest sin of all. To deceive yourselves, that's greater than any sin. And the truth is not in them. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, I like that verse. If we confess our sins and tell God, I've sinned and I feel bad about it, Lord. Or maybe if your wife or your husband, you've spoken out in anger and said something you shouldn't ever have said. You knew you shouldn't say that. That's the one thing. See, people, they know how to punch people's buttons and they say certain things, don't they? But if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I asked this lady, so you have sin in your life? Yes, I do. And God can't forgive you? No, I don't think he can forgive me. Mm-hmm. So that's how little you think of God. Well, she looked at me, what do you mean? You think he can't forgive you? He's not a big enough God. He's not great enough. You're greater than him. Your sins are more powerful than God. You've sinned and it's greater than God can handle. Well, you don't even believe in God. Oh, yes, I do. I really believe in God. No, you don't believe in God, I told her. Because he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You say your sins are not forgiven. So God is not a faithful God. Is that what you're telling me? Well, no. Uh-huh.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.